Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ride in Solo by Marika Ray. Narrated by Pippa Jane and Julian Durant. Chapter 1. Oakley.
Wasn't every day you attempted to arrest a guy in jorts and a backward baseball cap with Jason Derulo lyrics running through your brain. For the pure spirits and innocent minds, jorts were jeans cut off as long shorts, worn by men who had zero fashion sense. Today must have been my lucky day. Not only was I riding solo still, but I had the great honor of arresting Jeremiah Singleton for the 12th time in as many days.
"Jeremiah, step away from that door."
His head swiveled in my direction, and the rest of him listed a bit too far left to make me think he was sober. His face crumpled into full-blown tantrum mode, which could compete with my youngest sister Alva, affectionately called V. Because who the hell would want to go around with the name Alva? Can you imagine the jokes at school? As the baby of the family, V could really put on a performance. Clearly, Jeremiah here thought I was born yesterday.
"Come on, Waldo," he groaned. "I'm just here to make sure she got my text. She could be bleeding out behind that there door. And wouldn't you feel real guilty for interrupting me being a good samurai?"
Now it was my turn to frown. I rested a hand on my billy club and rocked back on my heels. Normally, domestic violence calls were taken seriously, and I'd be more prepared for things to turn violent. However, this was the backwoods of Monterey County, and I'd known Jeremiah since he cheated in dodgeball in elementary school. "Do you mean Good Samaritan?" I asked dryly. He nodded vigorously, and I worried his baggy jorts might take the jostling as a sign to slide further down his non-existent ass. What was with these guys who only lifted upper body? Didn't they know the ladies appreciated a well-toned lower body? Don't skip leg day, fellas.
"That's right."
Jeremiah smiled and spun back to knock on his ex's door, an ex who had a restraining order out on him. He may seem harmless to me, annoying for sure, but not particularly dangerous, but it wasn't for me to decide. The law was the law. He'd violated that restraining order by stepping foot on her property. I grabbed the handcuffs out of the back of my utility belt and climbed the stairs of the porch.
"You know you shouldn't be here, Jeremiah. I'm going to have to take you in. Again."
I grabbed one beefy wrist of his and slapped the cuffs on him. The sound of the metal teeth closing made him jump into action. Getting the first wrist cuffed was always the easiest. It was the second one, when the suspect dropped all pretense of being nice and realized things would not turn out in their favor, that was the hardest. Jeremiah used his bulk to spin around quickly, taking all 5'3" of me with him. In this moment, I truly wished I wasn't riding solo and had a partner to help me out, hence the Jason Derulo lyrics running through my brain. Thankfully, I'd taken years of jujitsu lessons. Dad hadn't let us girls go through life without some countermeasures to make sure we'd be safe out there in the real world, where 50% of the population proved bigger and stronger than us. So what do? When you're up against someone stronger? You use their bulk and momentum against them. He spun. I put a foot out to trip him up. He went down like a redwood. As he flailed, stunned at his new horizontal position, I got the other wrist in the cuffs. I gave him a tug, but he looked like he preferred to camp out here all night. I rolled my eyes heavenward and asked for patience. This was my last call of the night, and then I'd be off. "Could you stand up for me, please?" I asked in my nicest yet stern voice.
"Nah, I'm gonna stay right here with my lady love."
Jeremiah gave me a smile, ruined because his mouth smashed into the wood planks beneath him. I looked around at the darkening trees surrounding the property, the sounds of the night animals starting to make themselves known. Going to be a cold one tonight.
It may technically be spring, but it's still freezing out here overnight, and you have no shirt. I'd hate for you to catch your death out here, Jeremiah. He shrugged best he could with his hands tied up behind his back.
Skate.
I sighed. I hated to do it, but there was no way I wanted to spend the next half hour dragging his uncooperative carcass into the back of my cruiser. He'd asked for it.
Well,
looks like I'll have to get Sheriff Locke down here to collect you. The guy moved so fast, I had to jump out of the way. He found his feet and hustled toward my car before I could bark out a laugh. Man, I was jealous. I hoped uttering my name one day would make people jump to attention like that. Our county sheriff was a fair guy, but you didn't want to be on his bad side. He turned 50 soon and seemed to have no time for foolhardiness and shenanigans anymore. His almost 6'5" stature with at least 250 pounds of bulk helped, too. The man was a tank with a badge. Boots crunching over the gravel, I got down to the cruiser and opened the back door. Jeremiah made a face I couldn't make out in the dimming light and slid right in. I walked around to the driver's side and radioed in that I had the suspect in custody and would be in shortly to book him in our tiny county jail. Getting in behind the wheel, I stopped short, nose lifting automatically. I gave a test sniff and groaned out loud. I radioed in again.
Got a code brown situation here. Let maintenance know this rig will need a full clean out before tomorrow.
The dispatcher, a lady in her late 50s, whom I liked before tonight, couldn't contain the peal of laughter before she responded, 10-4, what a shitty night, huh? She broke into laughter again before I cut off the radio and put the car in gear.
Seriously, Jeremiah?
I asked him in the rearview mirror. None too happy to end my night like this. He had the good grace to look embarrassed.
I've been having tummy troubles, and when you said Sheriff Locke, I just lost control a bit, that's all.
A bit? I snapped. My nose said he shit his pants something awful. I pulled my little Grom motorcycle under the carport next to my house in the woods and cut the engine. I'd been saving all my money while working for the sheriff's department to get this house. Having a vehicle seemed a little unnecessary, especially when I spent most of my time in a government-issued cruiser. The Grom was all I needed to get around in the small town of Auburn Hill. Pulling off my helmet, I noticed a light on at my neighbor's house. One of the deciding factors on my house purchase had been only having one neighbor close enough to see daily. I liked my privacy, okay? Old man Jim had been a good guy, never caused any trouble, but sadly, he'd passed away a few months ago. His kids hadn't wanted to move to a small town, so they'd had it on the market. The for sale sign had come down last week, so I guessed my new neighbor had moved in, though I hadn't seen anyone around. I walked closer, not because I was nosy, but because it was neighborly to monitor the goings-on in the area. A huge black truck sat in the driveway, obscuring the front of the house from my view. I snorted and grabbed my cell phone from my back pocket to text my sister Amelia. I held up my pinky and took the shot, the truck in the background. Oakley. Uh-oh, the new neighbor moved in. Seems like he might be compensating for something. Amelia. What's with micro-dicks buying jacked-up trucks? I snickered and headed back inside my house to make some dinner. I knew Amelia would get my reference. We'd been more like best friends since we were the closest in age out of all the Waldo sisters. In high school, we'd had a game where we tried to guess the guy's personality based on the car he drove. The flashier the car, the bigger asshole he typically was. And invariably, the bigger the vehicle, the smaller the dick size. Since high school, I hadn't been proven wrong yet. It was science, y'all. I threw my helmet and keys on the tiny kitchenette table and hurried to turn the heater on. My home may have been old and drafty, more cabin than house, but it had charm you couldn't manufacture in a master-planned community. While throwing a frozen lasagna dinner in the microwave, my phone rang. It was my parents. They likely memorized my work schedule and called the second they knew I'd be home. "Hello, Mom," I said, putting the call on speakerphone so I could strip out of my uniform in my bedroom. "Hey, doll, how was work? All in one piece, huh?"
Mom always worried about me, but I guess she was used to that state of being. My father was the chief of police in Auburn Hill. I'm just fine, trying to scrounge up some dinner and relax. How'd your day go? I tossed my shirt over the antique chair I'd found in the attic of this house after I'd moved in. My boots and pants were next, though my boots went into the tub in the bathroom and my pants went into the clothes hamper. I took all sanitary precautions in case that code brown had spread. I'd learned that the hard way. Oh, it was fine. Just caught up on the gossip at coffee today. That Penelope Fiennes is getting stranger by the day. I asked your father why he hired her and where she came from. You know what he did? He basically hustled me out of the room. That's strange, don't you think? I rolled my eyes, but the smile came just hearing my mom's voice. Sounds like you need to let Dad do the detective work. She made some clucking noise only mothers of five daughters can make with their mouths. Yeah, let's talk about what you're having for dinner. Is it another one of those nutritionless frozen meals? She didn't even give me a chance to answer. I told you I'd be happy to make some extra each time I make dinner and drop it off to you. I can't have you withering away on me. You're so slight as it is. I shook my head and pulled on sweats and a tank top. Mom, I'm short, but I could take most women in an arm wrestle. In my mom's eyes, if a woman didn't have rounded hips, ample bosom spilling over, and a thigh-rubbing problem, they weren't hardy women. Well, I think I'll swing by tomorrow and drop off a few things. She ignored my logical defense as usual, but her heart was in the right place, and I really wouldn't mind some homemade meals. So I didn't call her on it. Your father wants to speak to you. Loud ruffling filled the air as they handed off the phone without a care for the eardrums of the person on the other end of the line. I took the call off speaker and pressed the phone to my ear. The microwave dinged, and I moved back into the kitchen to eat.
Oakley?
I'm here, Dad. The lasagna proved a little cold in the middle, but I wasn't one to complain. I needed adequate sustenance. It didn't have to taste like a gourmet meal. I sat down at the kitchenette table and dug in.
I'm still concerned they haven't assigned you a new partner yet. It's been 3 months. That's plenty of time to hire from outside if need be.
I shoved in a big bite and talked around it. I know, but what can I do? I'm kind of enjoying being on my own.
Oakley.
The word was a rebuke.
It's not safe for you to be out there on patrol on your own, downright negligent of them.
This was familiar territory. Dad criticized the county sheriff's department. The county sheriff's department criticized the small-town police force. It was a merry-go-round of disapproval we'd never get off.
I can ask the sheriff about it again tomorrow.
I knew it wouldn't do any good. Sheriff Locke remained an immovable force, but perhaps it would get Dad to settle down for another week. You do that, honey. There was a pause, and I braced myself for it.
You know, it would have made things a lot easier. If you'd just been a police officer, I would have made sure you always had a partner.
And there it was. The guilt trip that had nipped at my heels since the day I got accepted into the Sheriff's Academy and broke my father's heart. I'd chosen a different department, and he couldn't seem to reconcile the fact that my doing so didn't mean I loved or respected him any less. I just wanted to know that I succeeded on my own, not because my daddy was the town chief of police. I know, Dad. Well, I gotta go. My food's getting cold. All the satisfied feelings of a job well done left to die a slow death in the shadows of my father's disappointment. Dad grunted at my change in subject.
Your mother wants to know if you met any handsome men today.
Dad grumbled like he didn't want to ask, but he feared he'd have his ass handed to him if he didn't. The lasagna felt like a brick in my stomach. Tell her my love life is just fine, thank you very much. Dad made a distressed noise. Tell her to focus on Amelia, okay? She's married and giving her a grandkid shortly. That should tide her over. Dad sighed.
You know your mom.
Yes, I do, and despite it all, I love her. And you. Good night, Dad.
Love you, too. Night.
I put the phone down and inhaled the rest of my lasagna.
washing it down with a bottle of water. I should look into those box deliveries of dinner items and instructions. They'd have more vegetables and fresher ingredients, but I just couldn't be bothered with it all. I didn't exactly have the time to cook a dinner that took an hour to prepare. That time could be better spent working out or doing paperwork. Speaking of which, I had some to do tonight. I settled into the couch, flipped on a movie I'd seen 1,000 times, and got busy documenting everything I'd done today on the job. If my night was a little repetitive and a lot lonely, I didn't let it bother me. The job came first, always, and I was damn good at my job. Chapter 2. Oakley.
Lee!
Barked the sheriff.
Get in here! Yes, sir.
My boots squeaked on the clean linoleum floor as I changed directions and headed into the sheriff's office. Betty, the sheriff's long-suffering secretary, gave me a wide-eyed look which didn't help my stomach much. When Sheriff Locke told you to do something, you dropped everything and did it. Fine by me to be a little late getting out on patrol this morning. I wasn't exactly looking forward to seeing if the maintenance crew had sufficiently aired out my cruiser from last night's unfortunate arrest.
Close the door,
he growled. One would think he was angry, or that I was about to be fired, but this was just how Sheriff Locke handled everything, with privacy and a bare minimum of words. I closed the door, sat, and clasped my hands in my lap. I could feel one particular hair tugging on my scalp and causing my eye to twitch. Wearing my hair in a tight bun every day came second nature by now, and yet I always had that one hair that wanted to torture me. Guys had it easy with their buzz cuts that looked the same whether or not they combed their hair. The sheriff shuffled some papers on his giant desk and then made eye contact.
You've got a new partner starting today.
My entire body froze as I digested this unwelcome news. Hell no, I stated, the first thought that came to mind. Sheriff frowned, his gray eyes heating in a way we all feared. Don't get me wrong, the sheriff was fierce and gruff and a little scary, but he was always fair and an all-around good boss. We felt free to talk plainly with him, but he always made it clear when he was done negotiating.
Yes, you do,
he said, enunciating every word.
You've been in here 3 times asking about a partner, and now I got you one.
My mind instantly rebelled. Yeah, but that was just... I stopped. Realizing telling my boss I'd only asked because my daddy asked me to would make me look juvenile. And as a short, blonde officer, I have spent my entire career so far making people take me seriously. His eyes cleared, and I knew that he knew what I was going to say anyway.
And he's right.
He nodded, and his expression went soft.
You need a partner out there, Lee. Every one of my officers should have one, so this is not saying anything about you personally. His name's Wyatt Smith, and he's a lieutenant transfer from San Jose. I trust you'll train him right.
He broke my gaze and started clicking around on his computer. That was that. I'd been dismissed. And I now had a new partner. Just what I wanted to do today. Babysit some asshat lieutenant who thought he knew better than me because he was from a big city. I swung the door open and may have let it bang against the wall as my final thoughts on the subject. The sheriff grunted from behind me and Betty's eyes went wide again. She hated confrontation, which always made me shake my head at her occupational choice. All we did all day long was confrontation. You'd think she would have fared better as a librarian or something.
Smith!
I hollered to the room at large. Not bothering to sort through the officers standing around and slugging coffee before they got to work. If this guy wanted to be my partner, he better be willing to work for it. I hit the front door to the office before I heard boots squeaking behind me, trying to catch up. The door flew open at my shove, and I walked through, already headed for my cruiser.
Good morning, Captain,
came a deep voice to my right. I glanced over out of the side of my eye, seeing a man in the same uniform I wore, but wearing it entirely different. I hated myself for it, but I did a double take, needing that second glance to take in the fine form of a heavily muscled, tall, dark-haired officer who'd forgotten to shave that morning. He wore a heavy black watch on his tanned wrist, and he had the audacity to smirk at me. Deep blue eyes sparkled in the morning sunshine, and it pissed me off. "Something funny?" I asked, stopping at the trunk of my cruiser. His smirk dialed back a notch, and I rejoiced at the tiny win.
"Sorry?"
He leaned in, as if to catch what I'd say next from such a great height was only possible with the crouch one does with a small child. "Based on the smile on your face, Lieutenant, I asked if there was something funny you'd like to share," I bellowed. He snatched his face back and lost the grin entirely. I may have been small in stature, but I made up for it with my voice. Never, not once, had I ever been told to speak up. It was like I'd been born with a megaphone in front of my mouth, which I loved, as it usually caught people off guard, as it had with Lieutenant Smith here. Although my first question to him had been on the breathy side. In my defense, it was only because I'd been caught off guard by the sight of the handsomest male I'd seen in a long time. Partners shouldn't be handsome. They should be capable, dependable, an extension of oneself. Jesus Christ. This guy was the one they called up to be in a cop calendar, twirling a pair of handcuffs on his... But I digress. Smith shook his head.
"Nothing funny at all. Just happy to be here and excited to be your partner, Captain."
I nodded, begrudgingly accepting that he showed some respect. The sheriff was all of our bosses, but as of now, in this partnership, I was his boss, and I wouldn't let him forget it. "Hop in. We can go over protocol while we wait for the first call to roll in." I stepped back, needing some distance from all that maleness that seemed to pulse out into the airwaves. He leaned forward, and his hand shot out like he meant to grab the handle of my car door, like he meant to open it for me, like he thought we were on some kind of freaking date. I reared back in horror.
"Hut!"
The weird noise just burst out of my mouth, and we both froze. He snatched his hand back and walked around to the other side of the car, shaking his head while he looked at the ground. I almost felt bad, because while I actually enjoyed those gentlemanly gestures on a date, we were working. He and I were partners now. He had to trust that I could handle myself just as much as I trusted him. We didn't open doors for our partners. I slid behind the wheel and ignored the heavy silence, waiting for him to buckle up before I pulled out of the parking lot and headed on my normal route through the major county roads. The crackle of the radio eventually came to life, saving us from actual conversation. "We have a 1091 on Butte Canyon Road behind the prison." I rolled my eyes. I'd heard this exact call before and could just about guess what we were dealing with and who. I radioed back. "Got a lock on the animal?" The dispatcher snickered before answering. "Heard it's a bull." Smith shifted beside me.
"Our first call is wrangling a bull?"
I grinned and put the lights on, zooming back to the far side of Auburn Hill. "Welcome to the country, Lieutenant. Go over there by the oak trees and wave your arms in the air and make a bunch of noise. That'll scare him over here to me." I barked out instructions to Smith, grabbing a coil of rope out of the trunk of my cruiser. My 4-H skills from childhood were about to be tested. Smith eyed the bull, snorting and pawing the ground before taking in the knots I was creating with the rope. For a city boy, he caught on pretty quick.
"Shouldn't we wait for animal control to hit him with a dart?"
It was a fair question, but what was the fun in that? Seemed like a tranquilizer dart was an unfair advantage over a wild animal. The least we could do was take him down fair and square. I pushed him away and warmed up my shoulder. "You'll soon learn animal control is asleep at the wheel most of the time. They'll take forever to get here, so we'll just keep them as our plan B. Plan A is to rope that bad boy ourselves. Bane will protect Lucy in case the bull heads that way." I tossed my head in Bane and Lucy's direction. When we'd pulled up, the pink stain on Lucy's cheeks was a dead giveaway as to what they'd been doing out here in this remote pasture behind where Bane worked. He was the prison warden and husband to Lucy. He'd muttered something about never losing an opportunity when there was a babysitter as he folded up the picnic blanket and dodged the irritated bull. Lucy was surprisingly fast on her feet, cackling as she danced around. Apparently, this was a fun day away from her two kiddos, which made sense given her friendship with my wild and ridiculous younger sister, Amelia. The two of them were a few cards shy of a full deck. If I didn't know better, I'd have sworn Danger was their middle name. Smith shook his gorgeous head and scraped a hand across his square jaw.
All right, I'm up to give it a try.
I tilted my head to the oak trees and gave him a look that said to hurry it up. He headed that direction, and I noticed how nicely he filled out the backside of the uniform. The bull also took notice of him, for different reasons, which worked right into our plan. Smith got in position and put his arms out, waving them overhead and taunting the poor bull. The beast snorted heavily and pawed at the ground. When Smith lunged forward, the bull turned tail and stormed off in the other direction, toward me. I tossed the lasso in the air and spun it around above my head. The bull came by and I leaped back, tossing the rope in the nick of time. The rope slid right off his back and settled on the ground. My heart rate thumped in my throat, threatening to cut off my airways. Jesus! The whites of the bull's eyes were imprinted in my brain. What the hell was I thinking trying to rope a damn bull?
Come on, Oakley!
Smith hollered at me across the field. You try roping a wild bull! I hollered back, incensed over his impatience. Hell, even professional ropers at a rodeo sometimes need a few tries to get it right. The bull came charging back my way, and I didn't have time to chew out Smith's ass for snapping at me. I twirled the lasso and told myself I'd get it this time. The beast came close, and I could have sworn the ground shook beneath my boots. It huffed, and I felt the air on my skin. Tossing the lasso, I squeezed my eyes shut and jumped back, feeling the whoosh of air from the bull's hulking body, narrowly missing me. A yank on the rope had my eyes flying back open. The lasso was around his neck, and if my knots held, I'd roped a freaking bull. Elation soon turned to panic as that beast kept right on running, now even more freaked out to have a rope around his neck. My hands ached from gripping the length so tight, my shoulders burning from the tension. I crouched down low, trying to stop the bull from running, but it was no use. A short female human was no competition for a male bull. He started to drag me across the dry scrub brush field, my heels digging in and leaving two skid marks across the earth. Shouts followed me, but I couldn't hear them over the pounding of my blood. It was me and the bull in an awkward dance toward death. My own, most likely. Whose stupid idea was it to rope a damn bull? Strong arms came around me, and the clean scent of soap that only men seem to know about hit my awareness. My heels quit eating dirt, and the burn in my forearms lessened.
I got him, Captain,
came a low voice right in my ear. I turned my head and saw that Lieutenant Wyatt Smith now held me in some weird hug, his own hands now holding the rope steady and our bodies pressed tightly together like two nestling spoons. Lucy cheered from over by my cruiser. The bull stood still, only turning to look at us with one baleful eye. I wanted to tell him we had no intention of hurting him, but the rope around his neck probably contradicted anything I could say. We just had to get him back into the wild land outside of town, where he couldn't hurt any citizens. Animal control pulled up right as a tingle of awareness and something else I couldn't identify shot straight between my thighs. My hands spasmed, and I let go of the rope, to hell with the damn bull, and ducked under Smith's arm. My backside instantly chilled without his heat pressed against me. Good Lord, did the man shove a furnace down his pants? His jaw clenched in determination while he held steady. My eyeballs defied me and took a trip across the muscles straining, enjoying their travel indeed. How could male forearms be so delicious?
I didn't bring my firearm, which I now see was a mistake, but I'm glad you could get him under control without harm coming to him.
Bane clapped me on the shoulder, and Lucy took a picture of the scene with her phone. I frowned. Amelia is never going to believe me unless I have photographic evidence, she explained sheepishly. I shrugged because that was a fair assessment of my sister. Amelia was as hard-headed as they came. The animal control guy lined up his shot,
and the dart hit the bull right in the flank. The beast gave me one last nasty look and then sank to the ground in a dead sleep.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?